explore the meaning of do not pass by on the other side. This comes from the story in the Bible of the Good Samaritan, who did not pass by on the other side, and perhaps it would be wise for us to look at it. That's in Luke 23rd verse of chapter 10. 10:23. He turned unto his disciples, said privately, blessed are the eyes which see the things that ye see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them. And then a lawyer steps forth. Behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And so the master turns to the lawyer and said unto him, well, what is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answered and said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And Jesus said unto him, thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, and who is my neighbor? And Jesus answered, and this is now the parable about you cannot walk on the other side. A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three, thinkest thou, was neighborly unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, he that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, go thou and do likewise. Now if we were walking on the street and we went and did likewise, literally, if we came to this person who was smitten by a den of thieves who lay in the street, and we did all of the physical things that are mentioned here, we would still be passing on the other side. The key to the not passing on the other side is in the 34th verse of Luke 10. The Samaritan went to him. That means he recognized the identity of that man who was smitten by the thieves. And he bound up his wounds. He did not malpractice him with the belief that error or evil was real. He poured in oil and wine. The oil of truth, the wine of spirit. He took him into his own spiritual consciousness and let the Father within do the work. And he set him on his own beast. He lifted up the Son of Man in this individual. He raised him into that consciousness which could ride in its own journey. He didn't give him a crutch. He restored him to himself upon his own beast. And he brought him to an inn. What happened at the inn? The birth of Christ. He lit the light of Christ within the man. And he took care of him. That's how we do not pass by on the other side. Now then, if we're not to pass by on the other side, it isn't only to a man who is taken into a den of thieves. Our neighbors aren't all taken in by thieves. And this approach to the world around us must become a daily practice. Now, we can read this. We can understand it. But there must be a conscious commitment. And the act of commitment which Joel gave us as a necessity for building the Christ consciousness must now be accepted again in another way. In order that I may not pass by on the other side of you, or you on the other side of me, or any of us on the other side of anyone anywhere, we must dwell in the knowledge that wherever form appears, regardless of the condition in which it appears, good or bad, saint or sinner, male or female, tyrant or friend, loved one or despised one, we must always look at that individual and know that where the form appears, only God is. And the name of God is I. Where the form appears, only I am. Now, we could go on for another 20 years refusing to recognize that where the form appears, only I am, and still wonder why we still have barriers to overcome. Now, taken very specifically, that means the form is not there, but I am is there. You cannot pass by on the other side. You cannot observe the form. You must be conscious of I am. And that is not a form. That is the invisible life that stands there. Now, what does this really mean? I am, you have accepted as your being and your neighbor's being, but now you've got to trust I am. It must be a total commitment. And no matter how often you remember to do this, you'll find it isn't enough. I'd like you to consider this is what you should do. You have to talk to I am, not to the person. You have to speak, not to a human being, even though one is speaking to you. You have to address your remarks always to I who stand before you, consciously. Even if it's just to order a pound of lamb chops. Whatever you say to I am, you will say in a better and different way than if you said it to a human being. And I assure you that when you start doing this, you will instantly know why. If you do not do this, you will be addressing people, while somewhere in the back of your mind is the knowledge that you must be speaking to Christ, you will be addressing people, and it will not be the same. You find, for example, that if you were about to criticize someone in some way, you'll be caught short, and you will say to yourself, wait a minute, how can I speak that way to I? And then you'll see why. The moment you're aware of I who is there, your complete personality will change, your method of approach will change, something new will come into the picture in you. There will be a love and a reverence and a peace and a sense of gratitude, a type of wisdom in which you will begin to address your remarks to the invisible Christ who stands before you, not to the world concept core form. And that individual will think you are talking to him or to her. Whenever you came into the presence of Joel Goldsmith, you always felt a kindliness, as if he sort of approved of you. And he did, because he was looking right through you. He was looking to the eye who stood there. He was sowing to the eye of you. And of course he loved you. He loved I. Of course he didn't condemn you. Could he condemn I? Always there was that gentle smile which said, welcome. Why? Because he was welcoming I. Even if he had never seen you before, you were quite surprised. Why would this gentle man be so kindly to you when he had never seen you? You might have been a thief. Ah, but you couldn't be to him, because only I stood before him. He was not passing by on the other side. He wasn't turning away from your humanhood and letting you dwell there. He was coming up to you like the Good Samaritan, bringing you oil, bringing you wine, putting you upon your own beast, leading you to the inn, and then for good measure giving you 2 pence and telling you there's more if you need it. In other words, total recognition of the I of every individual. This is a commitment we are called upon to make in order to fulfill the second commandment. And I find I can't fulfill it just by trying to remember to fulfill it. It must be a practice of speaking to that I, so that if your doorbell rings and someone enters, you do not say, come in to a human being, you say, come in to the I. If you greet someone with a hello, you're saying hello to the I. And now what is happening? I, Christ, where you are, is expanded to I, Christ, where your friend is, or your enemy, and you have expanded your Christ consciousness. And as you continue to expand your Christ conscious awareness of each individual, you are expanding the knowledge of I, so that everywhere to you, I am. And then in a great moment of grace, when someone dear or someone not so dear tells you how sick they are, you don't even think about it, because instantly there is this feeling, but how can I be sick? And that's all that's there. And the reason it comes by grace and automatically without effort on your part is because you've been practicing. This is I, not Mary. This is I. Not Peter. This is I. Everyone is I, and you don't talk to Mary or Peter, you talk to I. You weigh every word so that you're sure it's going to I and not to Mary or Peter. And then you're living in I. You're abiding in I. And you have eliminated separation. divisions between you and the rest of the world. All is I. After you tried it for a little while, things begin to unclutter. There seems to be a new power moving through you. And the reason is that you have realized the oneness of I. You have found the invisible being the world calls God everywhere. And you haven't let the appearances fool you. Now, if that is all we did today, I'm quite certain that everyone who tried it regularly and then continued to make that a daily practice for life would discover something that very few people on this earth have discovered. That when you are doing this, you are fulfilling the second commandment. And do you realize that after you fulfill it, and the first, which is this recognition of I in you, you have fulfilled divine law. And you are walking in the kingdom of God. You are breaking karmic law, not only for yourself, but for all those who abide with you, all those who reach out toward you. Now, the reason this is so important is that it is really an explanation of when two or more are gathered in my name. You are doing the gathering of two or more. You are looking at Mary and John and Peter and James, and you are gathering to yourself recognition of the I of each individual, and that gives you two or more in my name. You see the I of me and the I of my friend, and you have two or more in the name of I. And there am I in the midst of them. And now you're in divine law. You have fulfilled scripture. You take 10 of those, and you've got 10 righteous men, whether they know it or not. This is how you build your universe. Now, very carefully, Joel, in this chapter, points out that spiritual illumination is not given to us for our own benefit. We have graduated beyond that sphere which says, here's what I want to get. We're in that place now where we are the chosen who are given the light in order that the light may shine in the world. In other words, we are to be Christed in consciousness in order that we may make ourselves transparent to the light in order to bring Christ consciousness into the world as a universal consciousness of man. This is actually, according to Joel, the real meaning of the second coming of Christ. That quiet, sacred, secret recognition that each of us gives to everyone we meet, and then carry it a step further. Don't just know it, act upon it. And it makes no difference who it is, stranger or not. It is always the truth of being that there stands I. And to that I, every word you say should be addressed. You cannot condemn it. You cannot hate it. You cannot fear it. You cannot suspect it. You cannot scheme against it. What can you do about it? You can only give it your open love. That's how you speak to I in everyone. And this is the I that has been standing at every consciousness waiting for our recognition. There are many things said in this chapter about the universal nature of Christ, which is coming into world consciousness through those who are accepting themselves as the light. It's called world work. But you cannot do it as a human being. We can all stand here and pray, but it won't mean anything. You can only do it when I in the midst of you is where you live. Now, inasmuch as this is the last class of this series, I think it would be unfair if we walked by something else. I wouldn't want to pass by on the other side of a truth, however difficult, when I know how much of a release it can give us. You must release everyone you know from form. You must learn how to do it. You must work at it. You must release them from form. You cannot behold them in eye and in form. And until you release them from form, you are form bound. You're a prisoner of form. Now, this is not something, again, that you say. It is something you experience. And I'd like to try this inner experiment with you. I hope you're feeling adventuresome today. Let us accept our invisibility now. As the living Spirit of God revealed. God unveiled in you is the Spirit of God, which is invisible. It is your substance. It is your eternal life. It is self-contained, self-complete, and self-fulfilling. It is always you, has been before the world was, and will be forever. Now let's try to live for a moment as I invisible, without any mental or physical obstructions of any kind. And let's go traveling. Not as a form, just as consciousness, so that you can go in consciousness, as consciousness, and let the Spirit move you as it will, with no particular destination, just being free, being behind all this atmosphere throughout the world. Now we have a rose bush, and it's pouring out roses, and then they reincarnate, and you have more roses. And another reincarnation is a constant reincarnation on the bush. Always new roses. But that invisible life in there, there's a permanent invisible life in there. And who is that? That is I. I am the invisible life. And everything that appears out there as roses, coming forth in newness again and again and again, is the world imitation of the divine idea that is there. And there's a pear tree, and it has its season in which the fruit comes, but always another season and more fruit, and then still more, because there is an invisible I am there, as the life of that tree. And it has the perfect idea, which the world mind imitates as pears. It can't imitate it perfectly. That's why they die. That's why they're reborn. That's why the flowers come and the flowers go and then come again. They are all imitating the eternal life which is ever new. And you're now surrounded in the majesty of that ever new life which is forever. All around you is a living radiance of life without end. And it is all your being. You can move through this life. All the power of God is there. There's no sin, no sickness, no disease, no death. And now we're going to bump into physical obstructions along the way. But let's limber up and see if they're really there. Here's a great big skyscraper. Do you think as consciousness you can move through it? Why don't you try? Just look at the skyscraper and go right through it as if it weren't there. Get the feeling that consciousness is unencumbered by all of the physical world appearances. There's nothing in this world that stands in the way of your invisible consciousness. You can go right through buildings. You must feel that you can fly without an airplane. You can move anywhere in consciousness because you're free. Your name is I Am. And there's no place that hinders thee. No place under the sun. And if a great big tank comes along the street, you can walk right through it in your consciousness until you can feel that freedom of knowing. There's nothing physical that could have power over my pure consciousness. I'm not embodied in a physical form. I am I, the invisible Son of God. I move through infinity freely. We're being a good Samaritan unto our own physical self. We're not walking by on the other side. We're redeeming it. Now you take these pleasant little excursions into the invisible by yourself, and you will eventually feel your own invisible self as a living entity. And you will know that there is a place that no human eye can see where the Son of God moves and has his being. Without fear, without concern, without the necessity to plan, simply being. You learn to live there. That's your home. You learn that Christ is never a visible someone, never a visible person, thing, or condition. You begin to feel very strongly about the invisible magic of all life. So that everywhere to you, perfect life invisibly is. And nothing else. You accept it. You live in it. You dwell there. You luxuriate in the knowledge that in this invisible self of the world is my being and the being of my neighbor. And no matter what happens in the visible world, it will not change one iota the perfect divine ideas that are permanently here in the invisible light of the divine mind. If a rose dies, the invisible rose remains right there, perfect, until a new rose forms. When a pear dies, the invisible pear remains right there, perfect, until a new pair forms. When a person dies, the invisible life remains right there until a new form is expressed. Always the perfect divine ideas of creation are ever present in the invisible light of your being. All of them, all that the Father hath is in the invisible light of your being. And if you will accept that to be so, not be tempted by those visibles which deny it, you will bring forth that glory which is hidden to human eyes. And you will bring forth the expression of Christ. You will be a transparency for the infinite invisible. But you cannot behold people in form. As you learn to do this for yourself, you must learn to do that this for them. If there is a single individual on earth that you can behold in your consciousness, not in form, you are giving them a treatment that is beyond description. You are releasing them from world karma, and if necessary, you're releasing them from human death. Because the moment you take them out of form in your consciousness and know that they are there as pure I am without physical form, I, in the midst of you, am the resurrection. You will see this work. And I urge you to try in your meditations and contemplations to remember to devote some time to being aware that all form is non-existent in the divine kingdom. All physical form is non-existent in God. I mean, remove it in your consciousness. Remove it. And you will witness resurrection. Whether it is of lack or limitation or health or whatever is lacking. If you will remove the belief in form in yourself, you will witness resurrection of all that is lacking. If you will remove it in others, you will be free instantly of any fear or doubt or concern about them. You will release God where they stand. Always the belief that form is there is probably the paramount barrier that we all face. The belief that form is there is the denial that God is there, because God is not that form. You can pass by on the other side, but not without breaking divine law. If you would not break divine law, you may not accept that form as a reality. Because accepting that form as a reality is passing by on the other side. It isn't there. It doesn't matter what it looks like, it isn't there. All that is there is I, the Spirit of God. And when every knee bows to that, you will find Christ consciousness on the earth. When one individual bows to that one is a majority. When that one takes two or more into consciousness, there am I in the midst of them. And you know very well this isn't anything you can share with a single person that you know. The reason is very simple. Until you experience it, you have nothing to share. And until you experience it, you will not know the power of being able to stand in the consciousness of that which is formless, but is present as I. Don't be afraid to let your concept of form go in these meditations or in these moments of inner communion. Learn to do it boldly. And in a moment you know not of, I come quickly. And the miracle of I am extends your consciousness beyond your own limited, finite sense of self, beyond your own form. And you have become a fisher of men instead of a fisherman. He made them leave their nets. What nets? The net of concept, the net of human belief, the net of form. Now, God knows nothing about human form. God sees divine idea. We see human ideas until we cease to have human ideas. And then we say, speak, Father. I'm not in a human concept of things. I'm listening. You do the thinking, Father. I will listen. When I think, I see form. When you think, you see incorporeal divinity. So I'll stop thinking and listen to your thought. And then that which externalizes will be the perfect expression of divine thought where you stand. Joel reveals in this chapter that all of his life, in this work, he knew that it was his function to bring forth the Christ consciousness on earth as a transparency, and that when he spoke to an individual, he was speaking to the Christ throughout the universe, not only to that person. In fact, never to the person. He was addressing Christ invisible at all times. Let's try to do that. Let's remove the false yoke of form. Even if once a day you make that effort, it will repay you. Now then, what have we got so far? We must learn to live in the knowledge that everywhere is I. And if a disease appears in a form somewhere, that is the denial that I is there. And we have no right to accept that denial. We must see that the disease that appears there is part of the five-sense hypnosis that we are being tempted to accept. And we simply get behind the five-sense hypnosis by accepting I am there, the invisible self, which is never disease-bound. And that I that is there without disease is the I of your being. Accept a disease and you've lost the I of you. Now, we're not then in this limited, finite sense of self. We've extended ourselves to the I of that individual who has a disease. But only I am there. And in the realization of that, not the phrasing of it, not the words of it, but in the realization, in the acceptance, in the capacity to drop the concept of form and to be still and know that I am there where the disease appears, the I will declare itself. If you have dropped the appearance of form as a belief, the moment you've dropped that appearance of form as a reality, I will declare itself and restore the harmony which the five-sense world had disrupted with its limited concept of disease. And if somewhere else you find someone who is acting in a very strange fashion as far as you're concerned, you cannot pin any label on them. We must see the universal nature of this cosmic illusion. We must see that it uses individuals, that it functions through individuals, and it appears as individuals.
when there is no individual there. That form which you had thought was there is not even there. All that is there is the world mind, the Antichrist, appearing as the individual that you would, in some way, condemn. But there is no such individual. And if you think such an individual is there, you're still form-bound. And you're still not seeing that I alone am there, and the I that is there is you. The individual you're seeing there isn't there. Only the I of you is there. The Spirit of God is there. And as long as you think the person is there, you are mesmerized, and you suffer for it. We nullify, we redeem, we dissolve every human appearance in our consciousness. For our realm is the fourth dimension, not this earthly material dimension of form. That's the veil of the senses. You cannot live in the veil of the senses proclaiming words of God. They will not have any effect. The veil of the senses must be broken, and this is the daily recognition by speaking directly to I at all times. By releasing the belief in form, resting in the inner self, knowing form everywhere, never was and never will be. There is no form in the fourth dimension. There is no form in the kingdom of God, not the kind of form we have known. We remove form from our belief and rest in the Word. You behold a strange, beautiful, incredible miracle. When form is not there, I am. No longer sharing in your consciousness a division with form. I alone am in your consciousness. And I can now show forth the activity of Christ on earth, as the harmony the world could not see, as the love that was not visible to one who saw the hate in form, as the health that was not visible to one who saw disease in form. Always that which you have seen in the form, whether good or bad, was the lie about I, Christ. So now your day begins a different way. Again a different way. I, Christ. Fine. That's where you begin. I, Christ, invisible. I, Christ, consciousness. That's who I am. That's how your day must begin. It must begin with Christ, with God, with the Spirit. But who will you see today? There's nobody on earth but I, Christ. I, Christ, here and I, Christ, there. Form is incidental. Form is but an appearance. Today is I, Christ, here and I, Christ, there, and there is no place you will go where I, Christ, will not be the only one present. One invisible, infinite I, Christ. And there you dwell in that consciousness until it is crystallized as an experience, until you have a measure of the awareness that it is so. What happens then? It is so. You go forth and you find it is so. And everyone you speak to is I, Christ, to you. And strangely enough, you find that love has preceded every step. Harmony has preceded every step. But beyond that, the miracle of I, Christ, the newness, the levels you hadn't divined were present, the grace, the incredible activity of Spirit going before you, the wonderment of a new universe everywhere you go. Why? Because in your consciousness,
You did not pass by on the other side. You accepted the word of God as omnipresent. Everywhere I am. And so see I in your neighbor. See I where every condition appears. See I wherever a person appears or a place or a thing, and change the world to I. And then you're plugged into the infinite. You're attuned to the one infinite self, and I, in the midst of you, who am in the midst of the world, am in the midst of everyone who appears on this earth, in the midst of every flower and tree and river and mountain, I function, my perfect invisible self, pouring it forth as the fruitage of the Spirit. There is no person in your life. Only I am there. And every knee must bow to this. Every knee must come to see that form is the delusion of the senses, that I, Spirit, am there. Forget the conditions of the form. Forget the animosities that are expressed in the form. Forget everything about the form. Forget everything it's doing, saying, showing forth, and know that the form isn't there. There's nobody there. Nobody is there. Only I. And as long as you think somebody is there, you are going to be trapped in the hypnotism of the world. Only I am there. To be reborn to the Spirit is to be reborn to the knowledge that I, the infinite child of God, am the only inhabitant. Don't condemn these people who are suffering by seeing them in the form with your five-sense veil. Release them from that form in your concept. The battlefield is not out there. The only devil is your five senses. That's the name given to the devil. The five-sense mind is the devil because it turns away from reality. And the only problem, no matter what you think you're seeing, is in the devil, in the five-sense belief. You're trapped in your own five-sense belief. You're tempted by the devil. And the devil convinces you that it's out there. This terrible thing is happening. And that's the mesmerism. How can it be happening? Where is it happening? It's happening in the devil, in the five-sense mind. That's the only place it's happening. It doesn't matter how excruciating it appears. It is only happening in the five-sense veil. Let that garment fall away. I am there. Do not pass by on the other side and accept that form as a reality. We can't all be seeing form forever and think of living spiritually at the same time. There's nothing spiritual about a human form. But you are the living Spirit of God. Your Father is the Spirit. You are the child of the Spirit. And even the saint is no more of a spirit than the sinner. What's the difference? What they appear to be humanly, they're both but appearances. We redeem everything we see now. We're coming to that high point in consciousness where there is no human me here to behold another human being there. If there's a human you beholding something, you're denying I right where that human being you called yourself is. How could you be there as a human being if I, Spirit, is your name? That's the reason for that little exercise of moving through the invisible, through a building, through a tank, through anything, to begin to feel your invisible self. Now let's take an individual and release that individual from form. Literally. See how good you can do it. Try it. Release some individual from form in your consciousness. And when you have a vacuum without form, watch how Christ rushes in. Let's try it. You find you're forced to take no thought. Because you can't take thought and lose form at the same time. You find another place within your consciousness where there is no form, where there is no thought, where there is my peace. And an inner strength enables you to accept that even where a loved physical being appears, there really is no form there, only the invisible Spirit of God. And that is the truth that you finally accept about everyone in this world. Then you're in the invisible divine idea of that person. Like living in the invisible divine idea of the rose, of the tree. You're behind the visible, you're in the invisible light, which is ever perfect. And nothing can ever change that invisible perfection of that individual you have just accepted without form. Always they are perfect as their Father. The light of their being is divine idea, ever present, ever perfect. It needs your realization of it to nurture that idea, to bring it forth, to glorify it, to uphold it until that person can uphold it for themselves. And so you lift the Son of God. You dwell in the divine, perfect idea of them instead of the form of them. And you really can feel it. You can feel the knitting together. You can feel the root of it. The truth of it. It has ever been there. That way for everyone who walks this earth. I stand at the door, not just the door of your consciousness for you, but for everyone you know. If you will accept them without form in the invisible as a perfect divine idea which can never change its perfection, you are opening the door to the I which has been knocking. And when Spirit announces, I am come, relax. You will know you have found why it says, when two or more are gathered in my name, I am in the midst of them. You will know why it tells you, resist not evil. Put up thy sword. You will know why. Because you will have found that life which needs nothing to resist. It is perfect. And it will express that perfection. You are cutting away the self-condemnation of the world mind. This is how we're going to release the world from its false consciousness. This is how Christ is born in each of us and matures into the fullness of divine expression. To each form you say, I crucify that which is not of God. And to each invisible self you say, come forth, Lazarus. What did hinder thee? You are the perfect invisible divine idea. I recognize you, I accept you as the only present idea. I abide in you. I love you. I know you as you are. You walk past the form, but you do not pass by on the other side of the invisible Christ in everyone. Start any way you like and expand your horizon that way. Some people like a dip in the ocean. Others like to go skiing. Everyone has a way to relax. You will find one of the best ways to relax is to go inside yourself knowing that you are not in form. It will take the whole world off your shoulders. You will be so pleased with it that you will want to do it for everyone you know. Time for a little rest. Then we'll go into the analysis of Joel's chapter.